here in John chapter 16. This is the night that our Lord is arrested, betrayed and arrested, and led away. And we read these words here in John 16, verse number 16. A little while, and you shall not see me. And again, a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, What is this that he saith unto us, A little while, and ye shall not see me? And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father. They said therefore, What is this that he saith, A little while? We cannot tell what he saith. Now, Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, Do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, A little while, and ye shall not see me? And again, a little while, and ye shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she's in travail, has sorrow, because her hour is come, but as soon as she's delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I'll see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. I'd like to speak on the subject a little while. That's a phrase that's repeated 7 times in these verses. A little while. The Lord is preparing his disciples for the days that lie ahead, and actually for the years that lie ahead. And he's saying to them, A little while and you won't see me, and a little while and you shall see me. And they don't understand. They really do not comprehend until after the resurrection that he had come to die and to be the Lamb of God, and not to restore the kingdom to Israel at this time, but at his second advent. I think it's a very striking repetition. It's very rarely that you find a phrase so many times in so few verses, a little while. That's what I want to talk about. I'd like to turn to 1 Corinthians. If you turn there with me, please. Just quickly read a few verses, get into the message, give us 3 thoughts this morning along these lines. But in 1 Corinthians chapter number 7, we read of the brevity of life. The Bible says in verse number 29 in chapter 7, 1 Corinthians, But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and that they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoiced not, and they that buy as though they possessed not, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. So the Bible is telling us here of the brevity of life. The time is short, and it's as though life is such a vapor. You have things, but in a very real sense you don't, because you have it for just a short while. You may be married, but it's as though you're not, for it's so temporary. Life is so brief, and all that a man can amass and do, it's almost as though it never happened, because compared to eternity, 60, 70, 80, even 100 years is but a shadow. It's so fleeting, so temporal. And the Bible would have us understand that, and the men of the world do not understand this truth. The brevity of life, people are living and planning as though they were going to live here forever. They're not thinking about judgment. They're not thinking about the brevity of life, the certainty of death, the appointment of eternity. So the Bible is always telling us to remember that the time is short. We're here but for a while, a little while, Jesus said, and the time soon fades away. So the Lord is saying, I'm here for a little while. You see me? You see me today? I'll be crucified tomorrow. You'll not see me for 3 days and nights. I'll be in the grave. Then you'll see me again when I rise from the dead. I'll be here for 40 days. Then I'll go back to heaven. And you'll not see me until you join me in heaven in a little while. It's wonderful how Jesus speaks with such authority, always looking ahead, foretelling things, telling exactly what's going to happen, when it's going to happen, and preparing them so that they should not be alarmed. When these things happen, they should have been able to stop and say, oh yes, Jesus told us this was going to happen. He was crucified. He told us He would be crucified. He's buried. He's risen from the dead. He told us He would rise from the dead. He told us He would go back to the Father, and that we would see Him again. We would see Him in a little while. And it was just a little while. It wasn't long. Jesus was in the grave 3 days. It wasn't long. They saw Him again. And then after their earthly lives and they died and went to heaven, they saw Him again. It wasn't a long time. It's just a little while. And they saw Jesus seated upon His throne. Three thoughts this morning concerning a little while. First of all, thank God our earthly troubles and problems and vexations are but for a season. They're just for a little while. In fact, the word Paul uses in one place is moment. He said our light afflictions are but for a moment. 2 Corinthians 4:17. And they work for us a weight of glory. So sometimes we think that we're bogged down and there's no end, and we think that it's all tribulation, and we forget the past blessings and future glories, and sometimes we get under the circumstances instead of on top of the circumstances. But we need to remember that the Bible says these things are of a temporary nature. They're but for a moment, they're but for a little while. The weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. A little while. The troubles, the sorrows, the pains, the tears, the heartache, it's just for a while, it's not forever. These things will pass. I like what one man said. You've heard his story. He said, my favorite verse is where it says, and it came to pass. It didn't come to stay, it came to pass. It's not quite exactly what that means, but there's some truth to that. It will come to pass and not to stay. I remember my own life was a particularly discouraging time. Not in a spiritual sense. I had been in this contest and lost this contest. And it was a speaking contest regarding the Constitution or something like that. And I thought it was the end of the world. I really did think that was the end of the world. And this man said to me, Alan, don't forget now, the sun is going to come up in the morning. Well, I'm glad he told me, because I was thinking that it wasn't. I really was. So the sun's going to come up in the morning. And these things that bother us now are going to pass. And they've not come to stay, they've come to pass. The Apostle Peter said the same thing, 1 Peter 5:10. He said, you will suffer for a while. The God of all grace, who's called you into His eternal glory, after that you've suffered a while, establish and strengthen you. So, it's just for a while. And the word there, a while, is the same word where we get the word like few and little. It means just for a few days. It means for such a little while, such a very little while. So that makes problems much more bearable, doesn't it? Next time something bad happens, just remember, this is going to last for such a very little while, and God knew it was going to happen, and it couldn't have touched me without His permission, and I'm not going to have to experience this forever. So God has a purpose in all things, and it's to establish and strengthen us, and it's just for a while, just for a little while. And you forget it, just like it talks here about childbirth. And the woman, as soon as the baby's born, forgetting the great travail that she's just gone through. You'd think that she could never forget it, but in the joy that's hers at that moment, it's all forgotten. So the harder the battle, the sweeter the victory. The darker the night, the brighter the stars. The hotter the fire, the purer the gold. So we just must remember, it's just for a little while and not for a long while. We need to remember as Christians that we're on a journey. And no matter what journey you're on, you're not always on the journey. There has to come a time when you arrive. Well, we're on the journey. And we should not think that everything should be perfect yet because we hadn't got there yet. But one day we'll get there where we're going. We're not vagabonds without a home. We're pilgrims. We're just headed home. And when we get to the gate of the heavenly city, we'll have to lay down all our burdens because there's no burdens and no sins and no problems allowed inside the gate. So, like in Pilgrim's Progress, we're on a journey. If you've never read Pilgrim's Progress, you should read it just because it's well written and it's such a good allegory of the Christian life. When I was in school the last year of school, the English teacher said, you all need to read a certain book and give a report. And I said to the teacher privately, I said, I'm not reading that book. I know that's a bad book. I've read reviews about it. She said, well, you have to read some book. I said, I will. She said, have you ever read Pilgrim's Progress? I said, no. Shame on me, I never even heard of it. And next to the Bible, it's the best-selling book that's ever been written. So I read it. It was an encouragement to me as a 17-year-old boy to know all that Christian went through between the time he got saved and the time that he went to the celestial city. But he did finally reach home. And all that befell him during that time, it was a hard path. It was all sorts of problems he encountered, but he left it behind when he finally arrived. So it's a great consolation, I think, to know that these things are temporary and the toils of the road will one day be as nothing. And the Bible tells us, Romans 8:18, and we were talking about Romans a moment ago, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Just a little while. Our troubles are just for a little while. Number two, we'll be in heaven in a little while. Days and years come and go. And it's impossible that the days are going faster. There's no way that an hour could ever be quicker than an hour or slower, but it seems that way. And we are spending our mortal lives. And we're closer to death than we've ever been. We're closer than we've ever been to that appointment which we shall meet, for it's appointed unto men once to die. Hebrews 9:27. I'm glad that God in His wisdom has not revealed to us all the details of that day. I'm ready to die, but I don't want to die, but I'm ready to die. We don't know when. That's a good thing. We don't know when. If we knew when, how, and where, it probably overshadow our lives up until then. God has kept it from us. But it doesn't matter. We don't have to know all the details. What we do need to know is there's no sting to death. Death has lost its sting. The grave has lost its victory. And Christians do not fear to die. No other religion can say that. Did you ever notice how our Catholic friends are so afraid to die? That's because even the best of them are going for hundreds and hundreds of years in the fires of purgatory. I wouldn't want to die if I thought I was going for hundreds of years. And then if your family forgets you and quit paying money for masses, then you never get out. And who's going to remember you five generations on? Who knows their family generations and generations before? So then, As Christians, however, we know we're going straight to heaven. We're not afraid to die. To die is to be with Christ, which is far better. No wonder Paul said, I'm in a strait betwixt two. I have a desire to depart and be with Christ. Not to die and go to the graveyard, like a lot of the cults, most of them all teach. Soul sleep. Just die like an animal. That's not what the Bible says. It says, absent from this body, present with the Lord. We're absent from the Lord now because we're present in the body. But when we're absent from this body, we'll be present with the Lord. And in just a little while. In just a little while. We're living our mortal lives. And we're closer to eternity than we've ever been. And I'm sure when we get to heaven, we'll all look back and say, looking back upon our whole entire lives, we'll say, Lord, I didn't understand it at the time, but it sure makes sense now. Lord, you're interested in my good and your glory, and not so much my ease and comfort and leisure. But Lord, you are interested in your name and the salvation of souls, spiritual things. We'll say that Jesus did all things well. We'll have no regrets, and we'll have no complaints when we get to heaven and look back. It's hard to conceive that. Well, I believe that, and when we get to heaven, we'll look back and say Jesus did everything well. Just a little while, and there'll be just around the corner perhaps, eternal joy, eternal hallelujahs, eternal life, eternal peace, eternal fellowship, eternal praise, eternal music. That's what we have to look forward to. Consider the alternative. And that's what we need to say to people, because they've never thought about it. I guarantee you the average sinner has never thought about it, never thought 5 minutes about eternity. And spend far more time picking out paint than to do deciding their eternity. So, it's just a little while, just around the corner. And if these things be true, and if life is short, as the Bible says, faster than a weaver's shuttle, then it behooves us all to live this one life, to make a difference, to make it count, to promote the Lord's cause in every way, because we just have one life, and we're living it, and we're not going to get to do it over. Just one life. Well, lastly, in just a little while, Jesus will be back. He said He would. I like Hebrews 10:37, the very same phrase. Paul says, yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Douglas MacArthur left the Philippines. He said, I will return. And when he came back a few years later, he said, I have returned. And if just a mortal man can keep his promise, how much more can God keep His promise? I shall return. Tertullian was a 3rd century Christian. I'd like for you to hear what he said. He said, now the world is glad and we are sorrowful. But then we will be glad and they will be sorrowful. He said, what is that spectacle near at hand? The coming of the Lord, he said, glorious and triumphant. So folks have been looking forward to the coming of the Lord down through the ages because Jesus said so. That's the same Tertullian who, they came to him, the Christians came to him and they said, must we quit making these little shrines since we got saved? Our business has been selling statues. And the heathen want many statues. And if we quit selling these statues, then we won't have any livelihood. We have to try to get another job. You know what he said to them? They said, we can't make a living without selling statues. He said, well, must you live? That's profound, isn't it? Must you live? You mean it's more important that you make money off of selling statues than the spiritual condition of all these pagans you're selling these idols to? That's a profound thought. Must you live? Well, it won't be long, just a little while, till Jesus comes. Maybe today, maybe tomorrow. I don't know. We should expect Him. When I was in school, I wore this trumpet. It said, perhaps today on it. I got it from Jack Van Impe. He used to be good. He's a compromiser now, but he used to be good. And people used to say to me, are you in the school band? I said, no. I said, that's the trumpet of the Lord. I'm looking for the rapture. Well, the tiptoes of anticipation. We're leaving here in a moment, the twinkling of an eye. And you're going to get left behind if you don't get saved. And they look at you like you had two heads, but you tell them anyway that it's happening. It's going to happen. So we should look forward to it. That this truth is so often repeated in the Scriptures. It ought to comfort us, for one thing. And it ought to motivate us, too. If we really believe Jesus could come back today, I guarantee you it would affect the way we live. The early Christians often greeted one another on the streets with the phrase, Maranatha. It means, our Lord cometh. It meant to them, it's not always going to be this way. We're not always going to be hunted down. We're not always going to be hated and endure these Roman persecutions. It's not always going to be a crime to be a Christian. Maranatha, it was a word that encouraged them to know that one day it wouldn't be Caesar ruling the world, it'd be Jesus ruling the world. And it was an encouragement to them. And it should encourage us this morning. It won't be long. Just a little while. Such a little while. And we need to watch and pray till then. I think we've come too far to look back. We're too close to the finish line. What would you think of somebody that ran a whole race and stopped 2 feet away from the finish line? Well, some Christians are contemplating that. That close to the finish line. We need to finish the race. We're too close to our mansion, our robe and our crown. Stop now. We've come too far. I like what Jesus says in these verses I read. He said, I'll see you again. Listen to these promises. I will see you again. Your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Your heart shall rejoice. Those are very strong promises from the Savior's own lips. I want to close with the words of a martyr. He said, we must be content to be despised with Christ in this world, knowing that we shall be glorified with Him in yonder world. And that's what kept them going. And they were despised. But they looked forward to yonder world. And a Christian who's only looking down or around is going to get discouraged. Look up. Remember, there's a yonder world. And we'll be there in a little while. Just in a little while. I remember hearing the story years ago. It took place on a bus. This lady didn't have anywhere to sit. There were so many people on the bus. And this man said to her, ma'am, you take my seat, I'll stand. She said, are you sure? You sure this is okay? He said, yes. He said, take my seat. He said, anyway, it's such a short journey. And we need to remember that. Be kind to people. Because we're on a short journey. Live for the Lord. Because we're on a short journey. Just a little while. When I was a boy, we used to sing, Just a Little While. That was the name of the song. Just a little while to stay here. Just a little while to wait. Just a little while to labor in the path that's always straight and narrow. Just a little while. And we used to sing, Press on, it won't be very long. There's glory in my soul. Since Jesus took control, He placed within my heart a happy song. The joy bells sweetly ring while of His love we sing. Press on, it won't be very long. It can't be long, it won't be long. Just a little while. That's what Jesus said. That makes it true. A little while. I trust we will hide these words in our hearts for the days ahead. God bless you. Let's pray, please. Father, in Jesus' name, give us wisdom and strength. Lord, give us opportunity and grace that we might serve you acceptably in the time that we have. That we might be a light, a blessing, a testimony in this generation. Lord, we thank you for the bright prospect of the coming of the Lord. We thank you, dear Lord, for the assurance of eternal life. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done for us. We can't take any of the glory. Lord, we give you all the glory. Bless us, please. Answer every prayer. Save sinners. Bless your churches everywhere today. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Girls, if you'd come, we'll close with the hymn. Remember the service tonight, 6 o'clock. Is just as I am. 270. Pray for Stuart. We'd like to see him back 100% well. Amen. Let's stand with same stanzas 1, 2, and 5, please. 1, 2, and 5.